Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 34, we're going to be preaching on the resurrection of the dead. We've been in 1 Corinthians 15 for the last several weeks. And 1 Corinthians 15 is really Paul's defense of the doctrine of the resurrection, because there were people in the church at Corinth that were questioning whether or not there was a resurrection of the dead. And they were not questioning whether or not Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but whether or not believers will rise from the dead. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Paul begins chapter 15 by talking about the gospel that he preached, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then he talks a little bit about his own testimony of how God, even though he was a wicked man, a persecutor of the church, how God, by his grace, had called him into the ministry and saved him. And we talked about that last week. And then in verse 12, he begins a defense of the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray now that you would forgive me for my sins. I do pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. I pray if anyone here is not saved, that you would convict them and save them this morning. I just pray you would help us to learn from your word and to be convicted of this truth of your resurrection. I pray for the children's church. I pray you'll bless them as they're having their lessons. And I pray that you would just work in this every situation here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So by way of introduction this morning, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there were some among the Corinthians at that church that were saying there is no resurrection of the dead. Now, we would be hard-pressed to find anyone here that would say there is no resurrection of the dead and that would think something like that. But in Corinth, we have to understand the culture that they came from. And in Greek culture, the Greeks thought that the body was a place of sin and corruption, and that the body was like a prison of the soul. And so the Greeks thought if you died, that was good. They didn't think that the body would come back. I mean, the idea that your corrupting, rotting body would come back was something that the Greek culture would not accept. And so the doctrine of Christ's resurrection, these people in Corinth had accepted it because that's the Son of God. But when it comes to our resurrection, because of the culture that they had grown up in, they were having trouble accepting our resurrection. So they accepted Christ's resurrection, but not the resurrection of believers. Now, this obviously wasn't all the Corinthians. This was just some of them. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? It's interesting how our culture can affect the way that we view the Bible and read the Bible. There are certain things that are practiced in the church that people have tried to use. We were talking about proof texting this morning in Sunday school. People have tried to use biblical proof text to prove it, and they really don't have to do with the Bible. They have to do with culture. For instance, I was looking at a discussion this weekend amongst some ministers on Facebook in a closed forum. And one of them was saying how we needed door-to-door soul winning. And I like door-to-door soul winning. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And I hope I plan to do some of it along with Johnny. Johnny was going to do it, but his car kept breaking down, and so I plan to do it too, and I'm praying my car doesn't break down if he rides with me. But at any rate, this preacher was saying that we needed to return to that, and that was, you know, it was Bible, and other preachers came on and said, where is it in the Bible? You can't find it in the Bible. There's no such teaching as door-to-door soul winning in the Bible. It came from culture. It came from the days when a vacuum cleaner salesman and encyclopedia salesman would go to the door and they'd knock on your door. And so some innovative Christians looked at that and said, hey, why don't we take the gospel that way? And so it was a cultural thing. And there are some churches that are doing it, a lot of it, and having great success. And there are other churches that are doing it and are not seeing success from it. But it was a cultural thing. It's not really in the Bible. The Bible does teach getting the gospel to every creature. So however we choose to do that, we just need to get it out. We need to follow the Bible. But there are cultural things that aren't necessarily biblical. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's a cultural thing. Now, what you were facing at Corinth was a cultural thing. And that's why some among them were saying there is no resurrection of the dead. And so Paul uses this section of the letter in order to refute that idea. And so our first point is, what if there is no resurrection of the dead? What would it be if there were no resurrection of the dead? If Christ, well, I'll get to that in a second, but if people don't rise from the dead after they die. And here's what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? That's the first point that Paul makes, and they hadn't thought of this. They thought, well, Christ rose from the dead, but believers don't rise from the dead. And Paul said, look, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. That's purely logical. If there's no resurrection, then obviously Christ couldn't have rose from the dead because there's no resurrection of the dead. And in fact, that's so logical that people miss it. And Paul was a genius, and he's arguing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but it's so logical and plain that some people will look at that and say, what? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? But it's just a logical, obvious argument. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So the apostle says, the Word of God says, that if Christ be not risen from the dead, then our preaching is worthless. It's empty. What's the point of us meeting together and preaching? I've always wondered why they have liberal churches, why they meet together. A liberal church is, I've sat under some liberal preachers when I was a kid, and these are people that don't believe the Bible. They believe the words of Jesus, maybe, but they think the miracles in the Bible are not true. They don't believe in the miracles. They don't believe in certain parts of the Bible, like Genesis and other things. They think it's all fairy tales. In fact, I had one tell me one time that the Old Testament, that it was just full of fairy tales. And if you think about that, what's the point of meeting? Why do you go to church? What's the point of having church and using a Bible if you think it's just a bunch of fictional nonsense? I mean, it's just foolish. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. There's no point in our preaching if Christ did not rise from the dead. If the resurrection of Christ is a fiction, if it's nonsense, then there's no point in us preaching. And by the way, we do not preach for the applause and the approval of men. We preach for Jesus Christ, who called us to preach. Because sometimes I'll get up and preach and people don't agree with what I say or like what I say, and I have to determine whether I'm a God-called preacher or whether I'm just playing games. Because if I'm a preacher, then I'm going to preach for Christ and I'm going to keep preaching. And if I'm a hireling, I'm going to preach till the money runs out. And if I'm just playing games, then I guess I'll go play games. But I'm going to continue to preach. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. I believe that Christ did rise, and therefore my preaching is not empty. It's not vain. It's not worthless. And then Paul says, and your faith is also vain. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then what are you believing in? What's the point of being a Christian? What's the point of being a believer if Christ did not rise from the dead? There's no point in it. Your faith is vain. Then in verse 15, 1 Corinthians 15:15, the Word of God says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Now what He's saying here, He's not just saying we are false witnesses. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, we're liars. He's not just saying that. He's saying if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then we're liars and we're lying about the things of God. Therefore, we're blasphemers too. We're taking the message of God and distorting it and twisting it and preaching something that's a lie. If Christ did not rise from the dead. If the dead don't rise, then Christ did not rise from the dead. And if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then what we're preaching is a blasphemous lie. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Again, he says, look, folks, if the dead don't rise, then Christ is not raised. It's very simple. Either there is a resurrection of the dead or there's not a resurrection of the dead. You can't have the fact that Christ rose from the dead, but other people don't rise from the dead. Either there's resurrection or there's not resurrection. Either there is the resurrection of the dead or Christianity is a lie and a farce and we should go home. There's no point in being here. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Again, he says, your faith is vain. It's worthless. There's no point in you believing. No point in you coming to church. No point in reading the Bible. If Christ is not raised, your faith is worthless. And the reason for that is because the whole thing we believe in Christianity is based on the fact that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then all it was a man who died on the cross.
Right.
That's it. Christ had to have risen. His resurrection proved that He was who He claimed to be, which is the Son of God, God in the flesh. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. That's another thing, is that if Christ be not raised, then you're still in your sins. Your sins aren't forgiven. We go around saying, oh man, I'm so glad my sins are forgiven. Praise God that my sins are forgiven. Well, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then your sins are not forgiven.
Right.
You're yet in your sins. You're going to hell. Our only hope of escaping hell, our only hope that our sins are forgiven, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the Son of God who died for us, was buried, and who came back to life.
Amen.
Verse 18. I'm going to hire you to stay here. verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So that's simply saying, Paul is simply saying, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then the people who have gone on before you, that have died before you, those that believed in Jesus and have died before you, they're just dead. They're gone. There's no hope. So when you meet together and you say we have hope in the resurrection of the dead, those that have already died, Paul says, nope, no hope. They that have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So the Word of God says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, a lot of people will say, well, if this whole thing about Jesus Christ is not true, I'd still be a Christian just for the life I get to live right now. It's not what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul was arrested repeatedly, persecuted. They tried to kill him. He constantly had people trying to kill him, hunt him down because he was preaching Christ. His family, friends, everybody hated his guts because he was preaching Christ. He was shipwrecked. He had all kinds of things happen to him because he was preaching Jesus Christ. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It would have been easier for Paul, if the whole thing's not true, to have just remained a Pharisee and to have been loved by the Jewish nation and to have been a hero and kept on persecuting Christians. He could have made a lot more money and had a lot better life. And some of you, what are some things you don't do because you're a Christian, because you believe in Jesus Christ? There's things you don't do when you have a bad day. Other people can go and get drunk at the end of a bad week. You don't do that because you're a Christian. You may feel like getting drunk, but you don't do it because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. So I probably should not go here. Some of you may like to light up some weed on the weekend, but the truth of the matter is that if you're a Christian, you don't do that because you obey the law, right? So the thing is, we have to look at our own lives. I don't know if anybody here can say what Paul said. I don't know if anybody here can say, if in this life only I have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I don't know if you can say that. The whole reason that you want to be in church and that you want to do what you're doing today is because of Christ. Amen. If you didn't have Christ, if the whole thing wasn't true, if your relatives who have died had just died and they're buried and that's the end of it, if on Sunday morning you could be out at the lake fishing rather than being in church, the whole reason we're here is because of Christ, because this thing is true, because He did rise from the dead. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Primarily, what Paul is saying here is just look at the fact that of all we put up with because we believe in Jesus Christ, He certainly did, all the persecution and everything, of all men, we're the most miserable, because if this isn't true, then we wouldn't have to put up with all this. And so in summary of the resurrection, if there's no resurrection, Paul has said these things. Number one, if there's no resurrection, Christ is not risen. Number two, if there is no resurrection, the apostles' preaching was worthless, and so is the Corinthian believers' faith. Number three, the apostles were liars and blasphemers. Number four, Christ did not rise from the dead if there's no resurrection of the dead. Number five, faith is worthless and we are lost in sin. Number six, those who have died believing in Christ are in hell. And number seven, there is no hope of heaven and we are miserable people if Christ did not rise from the dead. That's a terrible picture, isn't it? And that's what would happen if there is no resurrection of the dead. What if there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, we've looked at that, but here's the good news. The good news is there is a resurrection of the dead. The Bible teaches it. There is a resurrection of the dead. Look in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So Christ is risen from the dead, Paul says. He's risen. and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, the Jews had something that they did with the first fruits. When they would have a harvest, they would give the first fruits to God. And we still do that. Usually we give off the top of our check. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's kind of going back to that idea of the first fruits. And so the Jews would give off the first fruits, or of the first fruits, unto God. And they actually, of the feast of the Lord, one of the feasts that they had was the feast of first fruits. And this first fruits, this feast, pointed towards the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when he says this here, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, he's looking back to that Jewish ceremony, and Jesus Christ is the first to rise from the dead. He's the first fruits. But notice, if you have fruits, then you have a harvest. And so Jesus is the first to rise from the dead, but there are going to be many that will rise from the dead. And that's where we come in. As believers in Jesus Christ, if you've been born again here today, then one day you will rise, because Christ is risen. Verse 21, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." By Adam, that's the first man. By the first man, Adam, death came into the world. And by the second Adam, Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead came. Man messed everything up, so Jesus Christ, coming into this world as the God-man, but in a human body, he fixed everything. By man came death, but by man came the resurrection of the dead. Amen. "For as in Adam," this is verse 22, "for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So, when Adam, the Puritans, when they would teach their children the alphabet, they would go A. In Adam's fall, we sin all. So they would teach them that with the letter A. And they would go through the different letters of the alphabet and teach them biblical truth. Well, that's true. As in Adam, all die. In Adam's fall, we sin all. All of us fell through Adam. The whole human race was in Adam. Adam was the first man. Adam's sin is imputed to every man, woman, and child that has been born since Adam, but also we inherit a sin nature from Adam. And that sin nature is something that pulls us in the wrong direction. And you may have noticed that it's easier for you to do wrong than it is for you to do right. Anybody notice that? Yeah, that's sin nature. The Bible says in the book of Romans, "Wherefore by one man," that's Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And we all inherit Adam's sin nature, pulling us in the wrong direction. It's just like a dog is not a dog because he barks, because I can bark. Woof! See? A dog barks because he's a dog. That's his nature to bark. And we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. It is our nature to sin. And that, by the way, is why you cannot reform your way into heaven. You cannot fix yourself. We've given this illustration here before, but it's just like if you take a rotten tree and you go to Food Lion or Kroger and you buy some apples, and you duct tape apples all over the rotten tree, now you have an apple tree, right? No, you've got a rotten tree with apples duct taped to it. And they'll eventually rot and fall off, maybe. Duct tape will hold anything. But anyway, you've got a rotten tree with rotten apples. And so if you want to change the fruit on the tree, you have to change the root. And that's why Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again."
Amen.
Every single person has got to have God do a work on the inside. You've got to change the root to change the fruit. You've got, Jesus Christ said, "Make the tree good and the fruit will be good." You've got to be born again. You've got to be saved and have God change you from the inside out. And that's not something that man can do for himself. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. By the way, these alls are not the same here. The first all is limited to in Adam. In Adam. In Adam all die. How many of you are descendants of Adam? Raise your hand. That'd be everybody here. Everybody here is descended from Adam, Adam and Eve. For as in Adam all die, so all of us are going to die. We got that from Adam. But the second all here is limited by Christ. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Who will be made alive? Not everyone, but those who are in Christ. How do you get into Christ? You believe into Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We believe into Christ. And by faith we enter Christ and become a part of His spiritual body. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So if you want life and resurrection life, believe in Jesus Christ today. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Now understand this, the Bible's giving an order here. Understand this, before Christ, people had risen from the dead. You read the Old Testament, you'll see people being raised from the dead. All right? But Christ was the first fruits. Now, what is the difference? What's the difference? For one thing, Christ raised Himself from the dead. He was raised under His own power. But there's another thing here, and mainly what this is talking about. People in the Old Testament who were raised from the dead were raised. A prophet would raise them from the dead or something, and then they would come back to life, and eventually they would die. They would die. Because the body they were raised from the dead in was the same body they had before. And it would decay and die eventually. Just like our bodies are going to die if the Lord doesn't return. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Christ was the first to rise from the dead in a perfect resurrection body. And every one of us who are raised from the dead by the Lord Jesus Christ, will be raised. He was the first fruits. We will come after. We will be raised in a perfect resurrection body. Not the same body that we have now. It'll be the same, but it won't be the same. And we'll explain that next week because the Bible goes on to explain that. But we will be raised in a body that cannot die. A body that will live forever. And by the way, a body that's not going to experience the aches and pains of age that we have now. Won't that be wonderful? Yep. How many of you enjoy aches and pains? I certainly don't. As I get older, I know y'all don't think I'm old, but as I get older, I have to take pills for my back. This herbal stuff that I'm taking, which helps with arthritis and so on and so forth. But we have aches and pains. But we won't have any more of that. No more blindness. The lame will walk. The deaf will hear. When Jesus Christ came and He healed people, it was a foretaste of His kingdom that's coming. And so, every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at His coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 says this, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the dead in Christ will rise first. And then if we're alive when the Lord returns, we'll be raptured up, caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be instantly changed into these perfect resurrection bodies. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:24, back to chapter 15, then cometh the end. when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. So the Lord Jesus Christ has an assignment. He is to put down all rule, authority, and power. He's putting it under his feet. And the Bible says he'll deliver up the kingdom to the Father. Verse 25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Amen. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There'll be no more death. Revelation 21, 3 and 5 describes this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So that day is coming. And verse 27, 1 Corinthians 15 says, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. In other words, God the Father put all things under the Son's feet. It's obvious that the Father is not going to be put under the Son's feet. But when you say everything but God the Father is put under the Son's feet, that means a lot of things are put under the Son's feet. Death will be under his feet. Nations will be under his feet. He will rule over everything. We come to Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6, where this comes from. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. So this was prophesied. And God has put some things under our feet as men, but all things will go under the Son of Man, Jesus Christ's feet. 1 Corinthians 15, 28, this is our last verse for this morning. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, this verse is not saying that Jesus Christ is inferior to God, because indeed Jesus Christ is God. But what it's saying is Jesus Christ right now is our mediator. He has the old commentators used to say a mediatorial kingdom. They used to use that big word. But Jesus Christ is our mediator. And when all things are put under his feet and he's finished with his work, then he's going to give that kingdom up to God, the Trinity. And as a Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost will rule. And so that's what it's talking about. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And wonderful verse, verse 28. And I'm going to just read you a note. This is from Charles Ryrie, and I think this will help us. This is not to imply that the Son is inferior to the Father, but when death is conquered at the end of the millennium, then all things will be under the administration of the triune God. And that's, again, that's just what that's saying there. And so what have we seen here? In conclusion, what have we seen? We have seen that Christ died, and he was buried, and he arose, and he's going to reign victorious. And we will rise because Christ our Lord arose. That's what we've seen. And so, in conclusion, I would simply say this to you. Believe in the resurrection of the dead. Believe in it. Hold fast to that doctrine. Don't let go of it. We sometimes forget it, But death is not the end for the Christian. When we die, we will rise again. And hold on to that in faith, knowing that those who have died, your loved ones have died before you that have been believers in Jesus Christ, that they one day will rise as Christ rose. They will have perfect resurrection bodies one day. And also, I would conclude by saying this to us as a church. There's a lot of false doctrine going around right now. And there's people trying to question the Old Testament and trying to say even Christian leaders, even prominent Christian leaders, questioning whether it's important to believe the Old Testament and believe certain things in the Old Testament and certain miracles and things. And we need to understand that yes, all the Bible's important to be believed, and we need to believe it, and it lays the foundation for this doctrine of the resurrection. The promised Messiah who was prophesied to come was always prophesied not just as a suffering servant, but he was always prophesied as a reigning victorious king. And how can he reign if he did not rise from the dead? And how shall we reign with him if we do not rise from the dead? Let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for these thy people. Thank you for this chapter on the resurrection of the dead. I do pray that you would help us to have faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and in Christ who rose. And I pray because of our faith in him that we will very strongly and powerfully believe that we will also rise because Jesus Christ rose.